See how record works for our teachers tonight. And we will be working on having services posted on a website. That's not so you can skip church and just listen online. Sometimes, you know, you want to go back and hear something again. And again. And again. And again. Praise God. But because I've been gone, there's things that have been turning in my heart really for the last several weeks, and I'm going to do my best to, as the Holy Ghost has tied these things together in my spirit, seek to deliver them as such. And sometimes when you are, I shouldn't speak for you, sometimes when the Lord is dealing with me in prayer and in the Word, and I'm studying in the Word, and then I come and go and come and go and prayer and the Word, and through the course of just life, work, and jobs, and those things, and then come back to the Word, and the Lord will talk to me about different things, and then all of a sudden, He'll start, at times, He'll start tying those things together, whereas before, I didn't even see any connection. But I'm a little slow sometimes, but the Lord is patient, thankfully. And so, when He begins to draw those lines and connect those things in my spirit, for me, it's a very powerful thing. And I feel the need by His leading to try to relay to you tonight some of these things. Some of them will be somewhat repetitive because we've touched on them. I'll try not to belabor that. But I think it's important for tying these things together with where the Lord is wanting to take us. And what He's wanting to do in each and every one of us. If you're a guest tonight, welcome. We're glad you're here. I see several. We're honored to have you. And those words about God wanting to do something in us and with us include you. Amen? Praise God. The book of Acts, chapter number 2 and verse 38. Acts 2 and verse 38. Praise God. It says, then Peter said unto them. Peter was speaking, but the other 11 apostles were standing with him. It was not just his declaration. They were in agreement. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive what? The gift. Everybody say gift. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a gift. You and I do not earn the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. We do not produce it in our efforts and our ability. The Holy Ghost is a gift. I have a bottle of water here. Here you go, Brother Zario. There you go. That was a gift. He did nothing to earn that. He did nothing to produce that bottle of water. He didn't go downstairs and prime the pump to get the bottle full, right? All he did was receive the gift. I had it. I gave it. That's a gift. Right? If the Lord Jesus Christ had a gift for you, would you tell Him you're interested in receiving it, or would you reject His gift?
I'll take it, Jesus.
The Holy Ghost is a gift. It's not produced, it is given. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to jump through some scriptures quickly. And again, some of these, if you've been here the last couple of Wednesdays or so, some of this will seem repetitive at first, but it's important. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 1. Paul is writing to the church and he says, now concerning spiritual gifts. Everybody say gifts. Gifts. These are spiritual gifts. Brethren, I wouldn't have you ignorant. Skip down to verse number 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, we read in Acts 2, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Or the gift of, as some translations read, the Holy Spirit. Now, we read in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 and 4 that we find this mention of spiritual gifts, and not just any spirit, but these gifts are of the same Spirit. The Holy Spirit that you receive when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right? When we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, when we receive that gift, we now have resident that Spirit that can operate in spiritual gifts. Right? Okay. Verse number 31 of the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 12. And we touch, again, this is going to seem repetitive. But bear with me. This is important. Stay with me. Let the Lord put this in our spirit the way He wants to. Verse 31, but covet earnestly the best, what? Gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. How many of you like gifts? Anybody like, let's do this different. How many of you do not like receiving gifts? Right. We love receiving gifts. We may go, oh, no, don't. But we love to receive. We got home today. Somebody rang our doorbell late this afternoon. It was the postman. They left a package on our doorstep. And my son was excited. He received a late birthday gift. And so he rips off the package and it's wrapped inside. And so he rips off the wrapping and it's wrapped inside the wrapping. And he ripped off the wrapping and it was wrapped inside the wrapping that was wrapped. And he finally got there and it was from his cousin and family. And they know the way to a young teenage boy's heart. He got him a brand new pair of Kobe shoes. He's all excited. And we love receiving gifts, don't we? And the Holy Ghost is a gift. It is the Spirit of God come to dwell in you. It is a gift. You don't earn it. You don't produce it. It's given. Spiritual gifts that operate under the authority and by the working of the Holy Spirit. That Spirit has gifts that come with it. And the Spirit determines where the gifts operate and divide. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Gifts. I like gifts. That's not a hint. We all do. Right? The suit I am wearing tonight was a gift some 8 or 9 years ago. The shoes I'm wearing tonight were a gift last Christmas, I believe. The shirt that I'm wearing tonight was a gift back in February. I bought my own tie. We like gifts, don't we? Gifts are good. Gifts are by God's design. 1 Corinthians 3, but hold on, leave that verse right there, Brother Gabriel. Thank you for not moving as quickly as you usually do there. So Paul has talked about these gifts, and he says to us something interesting at the end of this chapter. Covet earnestly or desire greatly the best gifts. And yet, I show to you a more excellent way. Now he continues into chapter 13. Man put the chapters and verses there, but Paul continues his letter. Chapter 13, verse 1. Again, bear with me. Don't check out on me. We're going somewhere. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, he's talking about a spiritual gift here, and have not charity or love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, he's talking about gifts, and I have not charity, I am nothing. Verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, he's talking about giving gifts now. And though I give my body to be burned, and I have not charity, profits me nothing. Chapter 14, verse number 1. First Corinthians 14 and verse 1 says this: follow after charity or love and desire spiritual gifts. Now, still with me? Okay. So we've shared and talked about the concept. Some of you weren't here, so that's why we're going to give this groundwork. Of spiritual gifts being the design and desire of God to profit with all. Spiritual gifts are given by God for the working of His Spirit to accomplish things in the body and in the earth. Gifts of healing, gifts of miracle, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Those things operate in the church. Those things operate outside the church. They operate through the church body of Christ in the earth to do the will of God to profit with all, 1 Corinthians 12 tells us. But we find that the motivator of operating the gifts has got to be rooted in love. Love has got to be the driving force. Love has got to be the basis of where those gifts operate from. Love has got to be why I desire the gift. I've got to desire love more. And if I start reading 1 Corinthians 13, I can say, oh God, give me that kind of love. Because I'm going to tell you, you and I in our humanity cannot just love the way 1 Corinthians 13 describes love. Suffers long, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, hopes all things, endures all things. There ain't a one of us in this room that's just born with that kind of love. You ever prayed for the gift of love? Gifts like the gift of the Holy Ghost, these spiritual gifts that we read about in 1 Corinthians 12, gifts are not produced. Gifts are given. You don't earn gifts. You don't produce gifts. There may be some showing that you can be trusted with gifts. Right? You don't give your 3-year-old the keys to a new car. You may have a heart to give the gift, but you understand, okay, they're not quite yet ready to be trusted with the gift. But that doesn't mean they earned it. It's a gift. Gifts are not produced, they're given. Gifts are given by and operate by the working of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12. Love is not a gift of the Spirit. And therein lies a great conundrum when I read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Because love is necessary to operate purely and rightly in the gifts, but love is not a gift of the Spirit. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. And there is a vast difference between gifts and fruit. The Apostle Paul said, covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And when he began shifting from talking about a more excellent way, or when he mentioned a more excellent way, he then shifted from talking about gifts to talking about fruit. It would seem to me, as I begin to study and search this out in the Word of God, that fruit of the Spirit is a more excellent thing than gifts of the Spirit. And I'm afraid that we faltered. Maybe I should say that different. I'm afraid I've faltered at times in my life where I have sought and desired spiritual gifts rather than coveting more so the fruit of the Spirit. Do you know why we like spiritual gifts and we put attention on spiritual gifts and we elevate men and women that operate in spiritual gifts more than we do fruits? Because gifts often make a show. Fruits never do. Oh, the gifts of healing. Wow. Gift of long suffering. Well, that's not very flashy. Oh, it's not a gift. It's a fruit. Gifts are given. I've had this wrestling in my spirit at times. I won't call names, for since somebody might know the name, even though it's no one around this area. I have been in services where I have watched men of God filled with the Spirit of God. I have watched them operate in the spiritual gifts. I have stood in a room with a man that would, at the end of a service, call people together and would begin to use the gift of discernment and would recognize things in people's lives and begin to talk to that and begin to pray the prayer of healing, speak the word of faith and gifts of healing and gifts of miracles. We begin to operate through them. And then I was the chauffeur for that individual for the week of services that they were a part of. And I was having this wrestling in my spirit that was taking place because I was watching them operate in the gifts of the Spirit. But I wasn't seeing a whole lot of fruit of the Spirit. And it was, I was struggling with that. I hope that's not bothering you. I wasn't trying to find fault with them. I hope you understand. That wasn't my, I was trying to settle this in my spirit, in my heart. God, I'm not denying anything you've done. I recognize that was your Spirit operating, doing what took place there. There was a witness of my spirit, that healing that took place, that word of discernment. It was God. It was the way it worked. There was no denying it. I recognized that with my spirit. But then in conversation and even in some of the delivery, I thought, where is that spirit of meekness that I read about, that fruit of meekness that I read about? Am I making sense? What the Holy Ghost wants us to know, and this is so important in this hour like no other, is that gifts are given. You don't produce them. You don't earn them. The Spirit of God that dwells in you recognizes a need. And if I'm yielded, the Spirit divides severally as He will. There is a diversity of gifts given by one Spirit, the same Spirit, to operate for the profit with all, the Scripture says. But those are gifts. You didn't produce them. You didn't earn them. Fruit is not a gift. Anybody ever go to the produce section in the grocery store and buy fruit? You know why they call it the produce section, right? Because fruit is produced. rocket science. You were waiting for some deep revelation.
Fruit is produced. That's the difference between a gift and a fruit. A gift is given. A fruit is produced in us. And it's a lot more convenient for me and for you to say, God, give me a gift, but I'm not interested in this producing process. But the Apostle Paul said, I'm going to show you a more excellent way than spiritual gifts. And he began to talk about spiritual fruit. If you and I want to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and we should, because all of these things operate in, through, and by the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And so I receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I now have to allow the Holy Ghost to work in me to produce fruit. I can't produce 1 Corinthians 13 love in my effort and my ability. I'd like to just be able to say, Brother Azario, I just love you because that's who I am. I'm a great guy and you're wonderful and you're a pain in the neck, but I love you. I just love, love, love. And that was a joke. He's not a pain in the neck. Just love, just love, love. I'm all about love, but that's not who I am. Not like 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I'm able to love him in the way that 1 Corinthians 13 talks about, I promise you that's not something in my human nature. That is a produced fruit of the Spirit operating through my life, manifesting itself to him. It's not a gift. You know why you and I struggle to love people sometimes? That was a rhetorical question. Fruit has to be produced in us. John chapter 15. So, I'm asking the Lord about this because I'm on these spiritual gift things I've been reading about and studying, and then he's thrown this chapter 13 right in the middle of all these spiritual gifts about love, and I'm looking for this more excellent way because I'm wanting to know the more excellent way, and all the gifts, Paul's been very clear. The Word of God is very certain. Those gifts don't mean, this is Southern, those gifts don't mean squat without. He said, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels and I don't have love, it doesn't mean a thing. It profits nothing. And the gifts, spiritual gifts, are given to profit with all. So that tells me the gift's not doing what it's supposed to. If I don't have love. So how do I get fruits? How do I have the fruit of the Spirit in my life? I mean, gifts are given. The Lord will just give me those, but I want the fruit of the Spirit in my life. Here's how. John 15, verse 1. I spent 2 days in a vineyard on this trip. I read this chapter and those before and after it every day. And the Lord started tying all these things together and talking to me more and more. John 15, 1, Jesus is speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not gifts. Oh, no. Interesting. Jesus isn't looking for gifts. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit. Oh, what does he do? He takes it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it. Why would he purge it? So that it may bring forth more fruit. It would seem that Jesus is very interested in fruit, wouldn't it? Verse 3. Now you are clean through the word
which I have spoken unto you. Here's your answer. Here's my answer. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch, everybody say, I'm the branch. He's the vine. Okay, I'm the branch. Okay, now that we know that, Jesus said, abide in me and I in you as the branch. Who's the branch? Me, not me, you. Right? We're the branch. The branch cannot do what? Oh, you and I can't produce love and joy and peace in our own life. Well, if my circumstances, if I fix this and I change that and I do this, and if this Yahoo would stop, and if I get this taken care of, and if my finances do this, and if that person this, and then I'll have peace. No, you won't. No, you won't. Well, if so-and-so would this and that, and then I'll have joy. No, you won't. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself. You in your own effort and humanity, me in my own human nature, I can't change circumstances. I can't align situations. I can't fix it in my own human ability and nature and produce love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, righteousness. I can't do that. And you can't either, because the branch, you and I as the branch, cannot bear fruit of ourselves. Except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same, what happens? The same bringeth forth much fruit. Why? For without me, you can do nothing, Jesus said. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But what about if they operate in the spiritual gifts? Jesus measures a branch by fruit, not gifts. Not fruit that you and I produce, but fruit that we allow him to produce in us. And the only way that he can produce fruit in us is if we abide in him and he abides in us. You want to know why we get frustrated by the lack of fruit? Because we're impatient and we don't abide. I come on Wednesday and I want to connect to the vine. And then I disconnect from the vine until Friday. And I may not even connect on Wednesday and Friday. I may. And so my connection to the vine as a branch is a couple hours here and a couple hours there. And I'm not abiding in the vine. And therefore, I have no fruit being produced in my life. The Lord's not trying to be unkind tonight. He's trying to help us. Gifts. You know what gifts do? Gifts heal people. Gifts do miracles in lives. Gifts give people a word when they need it. Gifts do those things. You know what gifts don't do? Gifts don't feed hungry people. Only fruit feeds
That's why fruit is a more excellent way than gifts. Fruit feeds hungry people.
My son's going to look a crazy thing if he gets out of here tonight and says, "Man, I'm hungry. I think I'm going to grab those Kobe's I received today and munch down." Oh, no. But if he goes and grabs a banana out of the basket sitting there on the counter, that'll feed a hungry boy. We understand that in the natural. Why is it that the Lord is so clear and honest and direct about abiding in Him? Because abiding in Him produces fruit in us. Not our own produced fruit, but the fruit of His Spirit is produced in us. And when His fruit is produced in us, I see a hungry soul and I have something to offer that feeds them. Fruit. That person that gets on my last nerve, I have patience, not by my own doing, I promise you that, but by a fruit of His Spirit that says, be patient with them. Nobody else is. The fruit of His Spirit that says, that person needs to know what real love feels like. Let me operate through your life. So they'll know. I don't know about you. I could probably guess, but I won't. I've spent energy at many times along the way trying to love people in my ability. You know what the challenge is with loving people in your ability? It will never be enough to satisfy their need. It'll never be enough. But when the love of God is a fruit of your life, and they come in contact with you, you start hearing words like, "Man, I don't know why, I just want to be around you." They don't want to be around me. They like the fruit they're receiving. It's feeding them. But I didn't produce it. He produced it. Here's the kicker. Fruit takes time. Fruit takes time. Wouldn't it be great if we just planted a tree and tomorrow we harvested it? Fruit takes time. Now, does that mean the love of God can't operate through your life until you've just abode in Him for years on end? No. When you receive the baptism of the gift of the Holy Ghost, He is abiding in you. Hopefully you're abiding in Him, and so now that fruit can flow. But the moment you and I disconnect and we don't continue that abiding process, fruit stops being produced. It stops growing. And God's love is unconditional. I use love just because it's the first fruit of the Spirit. We could go down through many of them. But those things grow and develop in greater measure in our lives as we continue to abide in Him. A deeper measure of His love, a deeper measure of His peace, a deeper measure of the joy that comes from Him. That comes from continually abiding in Him. It's a product of time. Now, I'm not telling you can't have fruit unless you've got so many years logged. But you want to continue deeper and deeper and deeper in relationship with Him, and you want Him to purge you so you'll produce more and more and more and more fruit? Abiding is the only way. There is no shortcut to spiritual fruit. There isn't. There's not a shortcut for a prayer life. There's not a shortcut for time in the Word. There's not a shortcut for being here on Wednesdays and Fridays and being connected to the body and what that brings in the producing of fruit in our lives. I want fruit, don't you? I want fruit. Let's read a few more verses. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified. You want to bring glory to God? Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you. Why? That my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I've heard this scripture preached many times through my life, that fruit is souls. I've searched it up, down, sideways, back, forth, Greek, gone back into the Old Testament. I can't find anywhere where fruit in Jesus speaking here is souls. I can't find it. We are the branches. Fruit feeds a hungry soul. And then he takes that hungry soul that's drawn by the fruit and he grafts them into the vine, just like he grafted you into the vine. And they begin to produce fruit. Galatians chapter 5. I'm hurrying. Told you I've been gone for a week. I can't express to you how strongly the Holy Ghost I know is wanting to put this in our spirit. Because of what he's wanting to do. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Read that list every day and see where the Spirit needs to work in my life and in yours to produce fruit. Against such there is no law. What that literally means is when those fruits are in your life, the law can't come and condemn you in any way. And they that are Christ's, he's still talking about fruit, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, that sounds a lot like abiding to me. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory. Gifts can do that. Fruit doesn't. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another. Gifts can do that. Fruit doesn't. Envying one another. Gifts can do that. Fruit can't. Next verse, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Now watch this. Again, man, put the chapters there. I want you to notice how Paul shifts right here, and I'm winding down. Because sometimes you think different people speak and you think, well, that was good. That was the Spirit. But the Lord is leading us. That was an interesting thought. Maybe I better just say that. If you think I keep teaching out of 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 because there's nothing else I got. The Lord is trying to lead us somewhere. brethren. Paul's talking about spiritual gifts. They don't provoke. They don't envy. It doesn't do those things. Or spiritual fruit. It doesn't provoke. It doesn't envy. Gifts do that. And he's still talking in that vein. And he says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Verse 2. Bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. In verse 3, for if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Now, isn't that an interesting, it almost seems like, okay, he was done with talking about fruit and walking in the Spirit, and now he's talking about something else to the church. But he really wasn't. Because you know what's interesting, if you look there, at his right, these things that he's talking about in Galatians 6, you and I can do them if we have the fruit of the Spirit in our life. It takes no spiritual gifts, while they may come into play, it does not take spiritual gifts for Galatians 6, 1 through 3 to be operative in the body of Christ. But it does take spiritual fruit for Galatians 6, 1 through 3 to be operative in the body of Christ. Without spiritual fruit, what will happen is, instead of restoring one, we'll find fault with one. Without spiritual fruit, rather than having patience with my brother or my sister, I'll get offended with my brother or my sister. Without spiritual fruit, rather than having a heart that is temperate and forgiving, I'll find fault and I'll divide. Oh, you think that's coincidence? Let's go back to John chapter 15. You can read John chapter 15. Read all of that chapter. I was going to read it all tonight, but I knew you guys would like kill me. Read that whole chapter. Follow the flow. John 14, 15, 16, 17. Follow the flow of the Lord Jesus Christ talking to his disciples. John 14, he tells them he's going to pray for them. By the time you get to John 17, he is praying for them the things he said he would in John 14. There's a vein that flows through those four chapters. But he spends chapter 15 talking about this abiding in him and the vine and the branches and it producing fruit and what fruit does. And he continues right on into chapter 16 and watch the words he brings. He's talking about vine abiding and fruit. Chapter 16, he says, these things have I spoken to you. Why? So that you'd have lots of fruit. These things have I spoken unto you, so that you would not be offended. Isn't that interesting? I don't know if that's interesting to you. It's pretty interesting to me. Sorry we didn't record Wednesday night a week and a half ago. We should have. Brother Flowers taught about offense. And we talked about love and spiritual gifts and offense. And you think, man, what? But the Lord is. And I went to him after service last Wednesday night. I said, man, I spent this morning searching the scriptures on offense. There's all these different things that have been turning in my spirit. And I was sitting on. And we'll probably still go there just in case you're thinking we're going to skip off that. But. And as I'm studying this, the Lord is, I'm like, Lord, that seems like a strange shift from abiding and producing fruit. And then I go and I read about spiritual fruit in Galatians chapter 5, and I see the Apostle Paul go from spiritual fruit into talking about provoking and envying and brothers being overtaken in a fault. And that all sounds like situations where an offense could come. And my mind goes to the Apostle Paul. Why don't you stand with me? I'll give you hope. The Apostle Paul said in the book of Acts, he said, I exercise myself daily to have a conscience that's void of offense toward God and toward men. You know what? I can operate in all spiritual gifts, and I can have an offense in my spirit. You can operate in spiritual gifts with an offense in your spirit. And so I was talking to the Lord about this, Lord. So abiding in you produces fruit. And if you desire fruit and you want to produce more fruit, so Satan's not as concerned with spiritual gifts as he is with fruit. Because if the Lord is making a big deal out of fruit, I promise you, Satan cares less about gifts than he does fruit. Does that make sense? Let them operate in the spiritual gifts. Just don't let them produce fruit. Let them speak with tongues of men and angels. Let them do miracles of healing. I don't care about it. Let them do that. Just don't let them produce fruit. But they're abiding in the vine, and if they're abiding in the vine, they're going to produce fruit. So what could I do to poison the branch so that the fruit gets tainted? I know what I'll do. I'll bring an offense. I'll bring an offense into the branch. And if I can get the branch offended, they'll say, no, I'm abiding, I'm praying, I'm in the Word. I'm operating in the gifts. I still love people. But there's something that's gotten into the branch that's affecting the fruit. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost right now in such a clear way. The enemy uses offense as a way to bring, this is the word that just keeps coming to my mind, the way to bring a virus to the fruit. Would you pray with me right now, please? In the name of Jesus. 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 Let us abide in you. 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 In Jesus' name. Why would the Lord purge a branch to produce more fruit? Would the God of all wisdom recognize areas that need to be purged? Of course he would. And so I must allow him to do so. I must allow him to do these things in my heart and in my spirit. We as a body of believers must allow him to do these things. We must purpose. We must purpose to abide in him and let him abide in us so that he can produce fruit of his spirit in and through our lives to minister to this world. It is the only hope of this world. And so, we must also recognize the enemy would seek to bring offense. In Jesus' name. I want to give you a chance to pray and respond to the Lord right now. Would you do that? Would you be honest before the Lord? I'll open this altar to you. If you want to turn your chair into an altar, do that. If you'd like to come here to this altar and pray, do that. Would you please just talk with the Lord as he has spoken with you? Would you give him freedom of access into your heart and into your spirit? Would you allow the working of his word and his spirit? Lord, we want you producing fruit in our lives. We want the fruit of your spirit operative in us, growing in us, produced through us, that you would be glorified. We know by your word you are glorified by the producing of fruit through our lives. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, God, teach me to abide in you. Let your word to abide in me. Let my dwelling place be in you, O God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Let our dwelling place be in you. You are the vine. We cannot produce these things of ourselves, but by your Spirit living in us, by our abiding in you, they'll be produced. Jesus, let us abide in you. Show us, teach us what it is to abide in you. By the gift of the Holy Ghost you've given us, lead us and guide us. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, let me not measure, O Lord, by gifts, but Father, your measure in my life by the fruit you produce, by the fruit you produce, your measure. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Inolo siara mande rekia yamaha. Neloro riara basilie curianandolo bocoria tahaye. Inolo corianani sholo bocoyeti. Jesus in your holy name. Jesus in your holy name.